Hey, this is Malcolm Brogdon, and this is the Sideline Guys podcast.
We are now under a month away from NBA games that count. I know that sounds as good to everybody listening here as it does to JJ and I, and welcome you guys into another Sideline Guys podcast. Alongside Jeremiah, I'm Pat, and as with just about everything in this world, an abnormal NBA November. Typically, JJ, we're about a month plus into the season. I know you always look forward to this weekend we have coming up where the Pacers typically play alongside the IHSAA state finals, and the football state finals are still happening. But on the NBA side, it's been the draft, which we covered in the last podcast, and then very quickly free agency and what always is accompanied by a busy trade period. And from our perspective, we just got off a press conference with Kevin Pritchard, where he commented on free agency and the trade period, and frankly was pretty open and transparent. So I'll toss it to you with what your biggest takeaways were of the last handful of days.
I enjoyed getting back into that NBA grind where I was checking Twitter and I was really thinking ahead and projecting lineups and rosters on different teams and thinking about NBA games, because in 2020, it's been such a, you know, start, stop, start, uncertain when it would return. It's just been crazy, and we don't need to go back. I just want to look forward. But I did enjoy the flurry of activity, the emotions, the opinions, even though sometimes I don't always agree with those on Twitter. And I've made this point previously, Pat, that I have a number of Twitter folks that I follow, and at last check, 3,604. So I probably should do some house cleaning at some point. But part of it is I do enjoy just getting a little bit of the pulse of what fans are thinking. And so it was, I'll say, entertaining, at times maddening, but to see the reactions, because, you know, Pat, people see a report out there and it doesn't really matter who puts it out. There's an instant opinion and there's a either this is great or this is awful, usually no in between. And I usually find the in-between opinion for a lot of things I find in life. But, yeah. You know, it was fun in the last week to think about possibilities. You know, trades are always kind of fun for those involved, with the exception of those that maybe have to uproot their families. And so I always think about and feel for a current player if their name is brought up in trade discussions, even if no, because you never even know how much validity there is to it. So that's always tough. And you start to think, okay, if this person has been a big part of this team, is not here anymore, you know, that might not be good. But then what would be the positives if there is? And at the end of the day, it's just a lot of the same. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, Pat.
No, I think it certainly is a good thing, in fact. And Kevin Pritchard talked about that. And he said, we have plan A, B, C, all the way down to plan E. And I don't know if necessarily what happened was plan A per se, because I think, and he was pretty open and transparent about this, they were going after potentially more than one big name. And he talked on Gordon Hayward a little bit, and we'll hit on that during this podcast. But the option of running it back, you've always had, and it's intriguing for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think continuity is something that maybe gets overlooked, especially in this era of NBA where there's so much lack of continuity. I mean, when have you seen a team bring back essentially 14 of its guys, I think the number is? I mean, that's unheard of. We remember last offseason for the Pacers, just how much turnover there was. And even in the continuity seasons of 17, 18, and then 18, 19, there was still, you know, a little bit of movement from the Pacers. And so they have the opportunity as the 4 seed last year in the East to bring that team back. And I think it's important to remember, not only did that team deal with a ton of injuries and still have a lot of success, but now you potentially can run this team back with a brand new head coach and brand new ideas and perhaps a better way of utilizing some of this. You and I got to have a two-on-one conversation with Nate Bjorkgren, and you could tell right away the Pacers are going to take more three-pointers, and that probably really suits this roster that they have set up. We've seen TJ Warren, not only have a great restart, but an ability to hit that three the last couple of years. That didn't go away. You know, that wasn't a one-year flash in the pan kind of thing in his final year in Phoenix. And we know Malcolm Brogdon can really shoot it, and we know Miles Turner can really shoot it. And so the option of running it back, to me, I know the NBA world always wants, you know, tons of movement and tons of change. And the NBA, I think, has done such a good job of capitalizing as a league on off-season frenzy. But when you're a good team, and when you're a good team that's dealt with a lot of injuries and still were good, and you have the opportunity to perhaps bring in a coach that can, we'll see. We agree Nate McMillan did a good job, and so everything we say about that doesn't necessarily mean as a detriment to Nate McMillan. But the potential to maybe utilize the roster a little bit better, then I think that's very, very intriguing, and I don't think it was ever an option that Kevin Pritchard wasn't comfortable with. And to get Justin Holiday back, I think, you know, is maybe a bigger signing than NBA Twitter might give it credit for. And it really isn't running the same team back when you have a new coach. And I'll be interested to see, you know, exactly how different this team looks on December 22nd in terms of their on-floor product.
Let's get into the Gordon Hayward situation a little bit. And I'm only comfortable doing this because of, as you said, how transparent Kevin Pritchard was when asked about it. You know, first question, and it is the big topic. It is the big story. It's what I think everyone wanted to know. And I fully expected him to say, you know, not necessarily politically correct, but to not say a whole lot and to say, well, we were talking with a lot of teams and, you know, that was potentially one of them. And I would say, well, it was reported wasn't all entirely accurate. And right. That has been an answer that has been, I think, accurate in the past. I mean, you could just go back to last offseason when there was a point guard rumored to be coming to Indianapolis that was not named Malcolm Brogdon. And, you know, what if Kevin Pritchard said, well, that deal wasn't done and we had other things that to think about, he was right. So I was shocked that he spoke in detail in the way that he did about Gordon Hayward. And there are two things that I think about this. He and the front office made a decision, and I think it was a very admirable one to not, you know, make a bunch of small moves. They liked the team they had. If someone on this roster that they really valued was going to be leaving via trade, it had to be a difference maker that would come in. So the front office valued, obviously, Gordon Hayward. We're not speaking out of turn by saying that because of what he said with his own words on Wednesday. But they also, another thing that they, maybe a reason they valued Gordon Hayward is something that Kevin Pritchard said that was reported is that by all accounts, he wanted to be here. I think that is really important moving forward. It's always been important to the fan base to have players that really want to be here. And so you don't just say, well, you know, hey, Pat, you want to be a Pacer for life. So we'll just go ahead and sign you to a lifetime contract and we'll even let you be the backup power forward. You've got to be good and want to be here. There's a little bit of an equation that goes along with that. So I think for those reasons, they were interested. But he also said something that you can't just sacrifice everything just because you're interested in one player. And so as right. everything went along, it just didn't work out. And it seems like if he doesn't a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C, there's a decent chance acquiring said player that is now going to be going to Charlotte was maybe plan A. But it wasn't. Maybe it'd be like 1A where you run it back. And I think it's pretty important. And I've made this point yesterday. I was glad to hear him say this on the Setting the Pace podcast. You know, I was asked about this and I didn't say much at all because I was scared of what I could and could not say. But the one thing that I did say that I was confident in, and it's what Kevin Pritchard brought up, that they made a conscious decision. If a player's name is out there in a trade discussion, even before maybe it's on Twitter, that's what you'd like is you'd like, hey, we're talking with a team. Your name has come up. They might be interested. There's a chance you could be traded. We want to let you know. And I think if that's really happening, credit the front office. It may not always pay off and you may still have hurt feelings. And actually, it may come back to bite you a little bit sometimes because you could bring a player up in a trade discussion and they would never know about it. But if you decide to tell them, you know, maybe it doesn't work out. But he said the two players, and he did not say their names, so we don't need to even speculate, but the names that were brought up in this particular discussion, he let them know they're now back with the Pacers. They're planning to be here for training camp, and they're 2 feet in, to use his words. And so I have to take him at his word for that there are no hurt feelings, because this is really important. You can't have somebody sulking. You need to have everybody buying in And I think the players understand it's part of the business, and I hope they respect that open and honest line of communication, that it does feel like Chad Buchanan, Kevin Pritchard, and this group have really tried to create. So we'll see what happens. He said it himself. There's going to be a move at some point. We won't always have this same team, but it is crazy to think of how similar it is. And final thought on this continuity topic before you can weigh in on Hayward, if you'd like. You know, I think of so many years, media day, and I always have it in two parts as I'm preparing for the questions that I ask people. And it's usually, all right, I know these guys, and I already know a lot about them, and fans do as well. And then half of them are more of the get to know you type of questions, because we don't know you, and we will. This is a get to know you type of interview. We pretty much know everybody except the rookies. That's crazy. That never ever happens. And so while I'm disappointed I won't get to know this new coaching staff maybe as much as I would like early on because of COVID precautions and the way we're going to broadcast, it is comforting that we know these players pretty well.
Yeah, and if you were to have a season like this where you said this was coming, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, where the timeline is going to be dramatically shrunken, you're going to have less access from a draft standpoint that you typically would have. If there was going to be a year where that was the case, and then you also knew there was going to be a year where you brought almost everything back and you were drafting 54th and that was it, you would probably pick this year. You would definitely, I think, pick this year for that to be the case. And Chad Buchanan told us that, oh, back in July when we had him on a podcast, he said, you know, the good thing is you never, of course, could ever predict a pandemic. But a lot of our work for the future of this roster was done last offseason. And it doesn't mean, of course, they're still working to improve it. And I want to thank Kevin Pritchard for delving as deep as he did into the Gordon Hayward discussion, because it then allows people like you and me, as you noted, exactly, to talk about it. So that's yeah, much appreciated. And for where I think about it, I thought his most interesting comment of the press conference was not necessarily about Gordon Hayward, but what you just hit on, the fact that he did not name the two players, but he explained that they went to the two Pacers that were being involved potentially in the talks of this deal, and they told them up front. And you know what? That can be hard, and maybe every player handles that differently. But why I think that's significant is because it's so easy to not do that. I mean, it's so simple to just go about your business, and that's a hard conversation to have. It doesn't matter who the player is, whether it's a longtime veteran who's easy to work with, or a younger guy. I mean, that's a tough conversation to have. You're in talks to not be a part of our team anymore, and to handle that conversation in a way where you're trying to keep their best interests in mind and allow them to be informed and be transparent in what you're doing, but to also let them know that this doesn't mean we don't like you. This doesn't mean we don't value you. And not going to speculate on who those names were. I think we all saw plenty of reporting and could maybe take a guess. But one of the trends, I guess, I saw on Twitter was about how one of these players or multiple of these players perhaps now, you know, it's an awkward situation because they were all over these trade rumors and then are coming back. Well, I actually kind of view it from an opposite perspective. I think, you know, there's a lot of merit to the fact that this trade didn't happen potentially because Boston wanted too much. And, you know, you, me, Chris Denari, we're in a text chain, and we don't know. You know, we're kind of along for the ride during this period, as all of you listening are, and we're seeing the reports and we're kind of reacting to them. And you know, the thing that just kept coming up is Boston doesn't really have the leverage here. So if they did indeed and wanted to play the hand of, you know, trying to hardball Indiana into something, well, you know, that's plan A may have been to get Gordon Hayward, but not at the price that Boston wanted. You know, they valued Gordon Hayward, but remember, that's going to be an expensive contract and it's going to cost you things. From a team that's quote-unquote holding him on an unrestricted deal, you know, I value a St. Elmo steak, but I don't, if you charge me $200 for it, I don't value that steak quite as much anymore. And yeah, and so that's how you have to view things, and I'm sure it's tough to be close to potentially making a deal that you feel like could take your team to the next level, but you can't do it under the conditions that, you know, swipe the legs out from underneath your team as a whole and potentially put you in trouble. Because I final thought on this point here, I don't think this gets talked about enough. I mean, the Pacers since Monte Ellis have not had a bad contract. And, you know, you could argue that one guy or two guys maybe makes a little more than he should, or the Tyreke Evans move didn't work out. Not talking about that, but you look around the NBA, and I would say more often than not, you look at a team's roster and you say, wow, this current contract on this guy who's not playing the role that they probably thought they would have when they signed him could potentially hamper them from doing future deals. The Pacers have done an extraordinary job of avoiding bad contracts and avoiding bad deals. And I'm not saying that Gordon Hayward would have been one, or even that, you know, his current deal in Charlotte, if he can get healthy and play like a borderline all-star, and maybe even the all-star that he's been, then that's worth it. But there's also that aspect of you got to be careful not to handicap your team in future years to chase after something in the current. And while Kevin Pritchard talked a lot about this, he didn't quite give those kind of details, but that's what I was sensing from this. You value Gordon Hayward. You would have taken Gordon Hayward, but not at the price Boston was wanting. And I think you have to have the confidence in your team and in your own abilities to eventually hold pat and not give in a situation like that, if that is indeed how it played out.
Yeah, I think that everything you said is very accurate, and it's difficult to not have, quote unquote, a bad contract. And some say maybe you should take more risks, and because if you take risks, you have, you know, great deals, and then it goes with the territory. But there are some responsibilities that you have to be a team that is competitive every year. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on this particular topic as well, from Kevin Pritchard, though, and it fits along to that category about thinking, you know, big picture, not just trying to win every game and trying to be successful at the end of the season or maybe at the end of the next two or three seasons. It kind of fits there as well, because if you're trying to be the best you can be in the playoffs, maybe to get to that point, you A, have to play more players on your roster, or maybe B, you have to be in a position that you can be flexible. And maybe there is a midseason trade, something that hasn't really happened too frequently of late. And to do that, you can't have those bad contracts. And so it does seem like this franchise and this front office has put this team in a position to stay competitive, but to be ready to pounce on something big at some point in time in the next couple of years. And I think they understand, Pat. We often on this podcast are overly optimistic, and maybe that's part of our nature. Maybe that's part of our paychecks. I mean, you could argue however you want. I hope the fans respect our opinions that we're not blowing them smoke, but maybe right. At times we try to see the glass half full. But what I'm trying to get to is I think that Kevin Pritchard understands. He probably goes into this season thinking, as currently constructed, maybe it's not a team that's going to win the championship this season. However, and maybe they need something else, and maybe there needs to be a tweak, but they want to be able to make that tweak when the time is right, when it benefits them in the best way possible. And getting to that point, they need to get everyone else also to see improvement around the edges. And so the continuity on the roster is good. They decided to make a change with the coaching staff. That should at least bring some difference in style of play and the way they go about things. And maybe when you least expect it, some player becomes available, and this franchise is in a position because of the work they've done, because of not the frugality, but because of the, you know, the consciousness they've operated with over the last couple of years, that they will be able to make that move. And so, you know, I bring up Twitter again. It's such an in the moment thing. I mean, even if you break it down to in the middle of a game, we'll say a game in January, you could think the sky is falling, and in the first quarter, you're down by 10 points and everyone thinks that they're never going to watch the team play again. Yet you could actually win that game. And so big, big picture, think about playoffs. That's what everyone's concerned about, having success in the postseason. Think about one day, this team is still operating with the mindset They want to win a championship, and people can listen to this, and there may be some segment of the fan base that rolls their eyes. They're frustrated by the lack of postseason success and say, well, it's never going to happen. That's the goal. It's not to get into the playoffs. Maybe the goal this season is to win a series, but the long-term goal is to win a championship, and they understand what it will take, and it might take swinging for the fences sometime. They swung and didn't miss. I'd say it's probably a long foul ball in this Gordon Hayward situation. And maybe it's almost like they checked their swing and decided to not actually swing because of the way things went down. So I like the responsibility they're operating with. I like just kind of letting this play out a little bit and be ready when the time comes.
You went right up my alley. I'm on an analogy kick today, but the comparison that I was going to make was actually a baseball one. And you know, if you've got the ability, you're standing at home plate and you believe you've got one swing to take a big shot, to hit a double, a triple, a home run. And that pitch that comes in is a slider that's just kind of working its way out of the zone and it ends up being a ball low and away. That's not when you want to take the swing. And so it can be frustrating, perhaps from a nearsighted perspective, that maybe you've checked your swing, maybe you fouled a pitch off, but you still have that big swing available. And, you know, to go back to even the contract point, I'm not saying this is a bad contract, but it's amazing even to think it. Look at the deal that Bam Adebayo got yesterday, close to $33 million a year. Bam's awesome. He's young. He's probably going to be a big part of what Miami tries to do for a very long time, and I know he is integral to their success. But look at, even, for example, Domantas Sabonis' contract. I'm not sure the front office gets enough credit for securing those deals in the way that they did. I don't have it in front of me, but I think he's something like 18.5, maybe $19 million a year. That's a 13, 14, maybe even $15 million difference between what Sabonis is making and what Bam is making. And when Domantas made that deal, it secures up, you know, a long-term financial significance for him. I'm not saying that he got shorted out of money or anything like that. But you look at Bam and you look at Domas, and they're different types of players. And I think maybe people would argue that perhaps Bam is like just slightly ahead of him. But I think you can make the same case for Domas, who's probably a better scorer and maybe a better rebounder. But look how different those contracts are. So even in scenarios where, you know, I don't think Bam's a bad deal by any means. And I think if you're Miami, you have to make that move. And you know, maybe they got some bad luck from a financial standpoint that Bam got as good as quickly as he did, whereas Domas, you know, had some role changes, and that I'm sure helped the Pacers. But even from that aspect, the Pacers are sitting on their books, I think, in such a good position where they still can take that swing when they feel like it's necessary, when they feel like it's going to be a good pitch. But the Boston Gordon Hayward pitch clearly was a slider that ended up about a foot off the plate, and you could have swung at it. But that's probably not going to be your best option in terms of hitting that ball, putting it in play, and making a big move for your franchise. And I think it's having that foresight and having that restraint and understanding that, you know, you don't want to mortgage 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road for this season. And that can be hard to do, but ultimately I think it's the right move if everything – as it was reported, is true or close to true. And then also, you know, as Kevin Pritchard touched on it as well, it seemed like that was the case with that move.
And the two signings were people that, you know, we know well, fans know well, and I don't know that there is anybody that is disappointed about having Justin Holiday and Jakarr Sampson back in the mix. I don't want to shortchange them because I think they're very important, but I think most people listening would probably know with 100% certainty what you and I feel about Justin Holiday. Maybe we haven't spent as much time talking about Jakarr Sampson, but for someone, the role that he had, I don't know that you could have filled that role any better on and off the court than Jakarr Sampson did. And I think that he made an impression on this franchise. Think about a player like that. I would think with a new staff and regime that has their own contacts and players around the league and people that they're comfortable with, maybe you would say would be tough to predict that he would be back, because you could say, well, Nate Bjorkgren, he has to know a third center that he's encountered, you know, from his time, and that he at least knows and trusts. But I think that he can trust that Jakarr Sampson will do everything asked of him and more. He will be a good locker room guy. And I mean, to me, that's, you talk about keys to winning teams, and guys like Jakarr Sampson are what keeps, you know, the sun shining inside on a gloomy day. And also keeps people up in the fourth game in five nights, and then allows you to win a game when you have an unexpected injury. So definitely wanted to make sure that point was out there, that, of course, Justin Holliday was a priority. Kevin Pritchard mentioned that. Jakarr Sampson, who knows what would have happened, what if there was a trade and free agency and things like that, how you would have had to shuffle things around. But with your entire front court basically returning, I think Jakarr Sampson is a big part of that. And I know you wanted to touch briefly on something that came out today after the Kevin Pritchard press conference, that you know, we're talking about looking into the future and eventually winning a championship. Maybe the 2023-2024 season, maybe it could just be all in one. We'll have a big middle and then have a title at the end.
That sounds, I think, like the ideal plan. And what you're, of course, referencing to, and I'm sure those of you listening have seen it by now. The most heartbreaking thing to me from a just Pacers employee perspective of this pandemic has been, you know, I was started working with the Pacers in the 2014-2015 season. I was hired in September or so of 2014. And it was not too much longer. And these talks, of course, are behind the scenes and not always, you know, incredibly substantive years out. But still, I remember the discussion of wanting to get an All-Star game back happening pretty soon after I joined ship. You started hearing rumblings about it. I mean, this is 2014 for ultimately what was a 2021 All-Star game. And the amount of work that has been done to get the All-Star game to, you know, knock it out of the park. I think I've talked with Rick Fuson, Pacers president and COO, like four times on a Pacers weekly each year during the All-Star break, where he's at the All-Star game getting ready. And there's so many people that have prepared for this, and to have the pandemic kind of take it away is just heart-wrenching in a lot of ways because of how long this has been coming and how much work has been done for it. And you just wondered, you know, what would happen? Will they still get an All-Star game? Is it going to be so far out in advance? And look, it's not ideal, but 2024 is the new year for the All-Star game. And frankly, you know, that doesn't seem too far out in advance. We're going to have to be a little more patient. We're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Perhaps those All-Star game 2021 jackets we got now become a collector's item, but exciting nonetheless for a lot of people that have been working on this for a long time to know that there is a new end date, a new end goal, and ultimately the All-Star game will still be in Indianapolis. We're just going to have to be a little patient.
Yeah, I think this isn't a stretch to say, you know, maybe this is, you know, the best thing that could have happened to this specific. I don't get me wrong. Nothing about 2020 is good. However, You were in the middle of you were going to host an All-Star game kind of in the middle of, you know, a three-phase renovation plan. And that I don't know how many phases have been done now. I think they've been able to do more with what has happened than they originally planned. But you hopefully can think 2024, you're not worried about viruses. Everything that you wanted to do to change and upgrade the field house can be done. And then we'll just say maybe it'll also be sunny and 70 whenever that is in 2024 as well. So it'll be, you know, you'll get all three things. But, you know, when you're showcasing that building and this city to the world, why not look your best? And so I think it's fair to say that building will look almost brand new when they finish the third phase of construction. And so that will be exciting. It's probably going to be a little tedious to those that have been working on this and had thought that, you know, last year when they went to Chicago for the All-Star game, that they were in that 1 year countdown. And now you add another 3 years that yeah. I'm sure could be troubling. But now I think what you do is you just take a break. You almost worry about other things right now. All of the work you've done is still valid, but who knows what the world's like in 3 years. So you kind of will have to, you know, ramp it back up in 2022 and 2023. And I think this is a year where there really shouldn't be an All-Star weekend. It should be a catch your breath, you know, put everything you can into this regular season, and getting everybody to be able to play games and provide entertainment and stay healthy. And so it wouldn't have been fair to the city to have its one shot at the All-Star game to be in 2021 anyways. And so I always like things to look forward to, and I always have, I'm always disappointed when the thing I look forward to comes to an end. My analogy here would always be, for many years, I covered the NCAA tournament for Fox 59, and I loved that. And then when that ended, I kind of looked forward to Kentucky Derby weekend. And it was like, got me through April. It was kind of my one non-work related activity. Didn't always go to the Derby, always went to Oaks, but always did it with three or four of the same friends. And it's something that I look forward to every single year. Things have changed now and schedules make it a little more difficult, but driving home, whether it was Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday morning from that weekend, it was a bummer. And I could think the same thing maybe would happen with the All-Star game. Once it's over, you don't have it to look forward to. So now we've got another 3 years to look forward to Indianapolis and the Indiana Pacers hosting the All-Star game. And so I know whenever it happens, it will be done in the best way possible.
And I don't want to necessarily speak for everybody that was involved in making the 2021 All-Star game come to fruition, which got canceled, because, you know, our job is to amplify it. Our job is to, as asked, help be stewards of the company and the team and the building and the weekend and all of that. But, you know, big picture, we're not the ones who were doing the heavy lifting on the All-Star game. But as it became clear that this pandemic was, you know, going to cause as much change and as much shifting as it was, one of the questions, at least I got a lot, I'm sure you did too, from friends, family, fans that you might run into, is what's going to happen to the 2021 All-Star game? And as it became clear that it was going to create a major multi-season shift in how the league is going to operate, to be honest, my initial thought was, I hope it doesn't happen, because I would have wanted would be, you know, for so many people to work so hard to get this All-Star game, to put it all together. I mean, you know, the knit hats that all the volunteers were going to wear. I mean, there's just so many aspects of that weekend, because if it were to be in 2021, it would be probably in an empty building without fans here. It'd be, I don't know, the 24 players and the coaches and the staffs, and that would really be it. And for all the work and time that goes into it, I would rather be patient, wait a few more years. In 2024, I'm going to knock on wood just to be totally safe, but we're not even going to be thinking about viruses. And it's going to be a normal big celebration with people coming in all over the country. And Indy's going to be, you know, once again, which it does so well, the sports center of America for a little bit of time. And I would much rather wait a few years and get the full version of that than get, you know, a watered down pandemic version in 2021. And, you know, there are so many big events that this city is hosting in the next few years. And I know at least the Final Four, and although on the other hand, you know, maybe getting the entire tournament here is a cool side avenue that happens because of this pandemic. But as it relates to the All-Star game, I want all that pageantry and everything that Indy does as a city and everything that Bankers Life does and the facility along with the organization and the team. You know, they want to roll out the red carpet and nail this. And so I would much rather, and I think I'm speaking for most people, would much rather say, okay, dealt a tough hand here. But let's get an opportunity to go all out in a few years from now. And, you know, in 2024, I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a really big weekend and a really big party in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. There will be plenty of time to talk about this in the next couple of years. So maybe you'll have, what, three more Pacers Weekly looking ahead to the All-Star game interviews with Rick Fusen.
yeah. Well, probably by the time the event actually goes down, he'll probably have done like seven or eight with us, I would guess. Although it has to be interesting, not to get too far down, you know, this rabbit hole, but it has to be interesting from somebody like his perspective or, you know, those that are high up in making this happen. You have to feel like they did all the work to be totally prepared for this year. So, you know, do they need to still keep going to all these All-Star sites if they feel like they got all of their work done? Who knows? But yes, the preview of the All-Star games on that All-Star break weekend will probably be happening for some time. And when it finally happens, you know, the anticipation will have been building for a while, and I'll be more than excited to see it play out here in Indy.
This is probably the third podcast maybe we have done this month. And so it is starting to feel a little bit more normal for us. And I feel like with each one, there has been something new to talk about. And so, you know, if we stay on this weekly schedule, I'm willing to, if you are, if we want to do this next Wednesday, December 2nd, would it not seem like there's a decent chance we've got, you know, the roster, I think it looks pretty set right now, but by December 2nd, we should have a really good idea about training camp schedules and maybe even a regular season schedule. What do you think?
I hope so. We'll see. You know, I don't know if that date has necessarily been set yet. Maybe right around that time. I honestly don't know. But if not by next Wednesday, I think very, very soon thereafter.
We're not speaking out of turn. It has to be at least sometime soon because, you know, games are the 22nd. And so I would think you've got to know at least by the first week or second week of December where you're going to be going and who you're going to play.
And a preseason, you know, a shortened preseason nonetheless. But before it really is remarkable to think, you know, you could have basketball games here in just a couple of weeks. This late December start, I think, is best case scenario for so many reasons. But it really turned everything into warp speed as it relates to our, and maybe that'll be a good podcast to have, too, going forward in the next couple of weeks once we get some of our broadcast plans more solidified. You know, exactly how they're going to work, exactly how you can view and listen to our coverage this year, because they're certainly going to be different and we're all, you know, kind of pivoting at the same time. But yeah, you're right. This, even if you didn't have any idea when the schedule was coming out, which I have an idea, but I don't have a specific day in mind. It has to be soon. And exactly. The Pacers gave a little teaser on their new City Edition jersey, which is going to be announced soon as well and go on sale soon as well. And
so we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I think those. I think you fans are going to enjoy that jersey this year. It's been a few years in the works and in the making.
Well, all I will say is I thought maybe we could end this podcast looking ahead to training camp, but I do think we might have time for that in the next one. And so I think that maybe we could let this one kind of live on its own. But just, you know, final thoughts from me here today. You know, Wednesdays, I always enjoy getting this Wednesday podcast out in under normal circumstances because I love. For people that are traveling or driving long distances to have something to listen to. And when you text me yesterday saying, you want to do a podcast? I admit I hadn't even been thinking about it because I'm not really traveling. And so then I put in my head, well, other people must not be as well. And, but I'm glad I did. And I just feel like this whole day has kind of been, it's raining right now. It's just kind of like, ugh. But listening to Kevin Pritchard was, I don't know, it was kind of invigorating for me a little bit because I really did appreciate, you know, what he said and how he did not sidestep, you know, some of the topics at hand. And just his description of Nate Bjorkgren has me excited. I'm taking him at his word with all the things about the current players on the roster. We didn't even touch on Victor Oladipo here. It's probably the thing that I've been asked most about in the last 4 months. And mm-hmm. I got the feeling that Kevin Pritchard feels what he said is entirely accurate. He's going to take his relationship with Victor and what he's telling him, you know, on its own and think that he wants to be here because that's what he's been given, but he's going to be prepared for anything. And so if you're a Pacers fan and you're getting ready for this season, I think both sides, you know, Kevin admitted maybe he's made some mistakes and maybe Victor, if you got him in a room, he would say maybe he hasn't done everything in the best way possible over the last year and a half. And so, you know what? All you can do is kind of look forward. And it sounds like Victor's ready to show everybody what he's capable of and not insignificant to show, you know, what the people of this organization and this fan base that he cares and wants to be here. We'll see what happens. I can't look into the future and predict how it's going to go from his play or from his feelings inside. And so we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, the bigger thought is that Kevin Pritchard's Zoom conference, as impersonal as those can be, it got me fired up. Talking Pacers basketball with you has me, you know, enthusiastic. I'm going to call a high school football game from Lucas Oil Stadium on Friday that I'm fired up about. And just, I feel like there are so many things to be excited about in the next month that, you know, you can get brought down and, you know, the COVID is just it's the nightmare that seems like it will never end. And so while wanting to make sure everyone is safety and is safe and making the right decisions and getting through this holiday, you know, as frustrating as it's going to be for many family members, that I'm struggling with that. Yeah. You know, just try to look forward to things that you are excited about and hope that, you know, by the middle of this season, things can just be almost as normal as possible. Who knows? But there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Pacers fan and if you're listening and you're, you know, doing Thanksgiving differently, make the best of what it is and be appreciative for what you have and think about those that have lost and just try to, you know, make the best of this week ahead and the month ahead.
Absolutely. I think that was so well said, and I don't want to end this on a negative note, and it, by no means is it, you know, our position to tell anybody listening what to do, but if you can put the mindset forward of, I think in general, this just needs to be your mindset if you can for the next handful of months. It's going to be an abnormal Thanksgiving. If you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate in December, it's going to be an abnormal one. But hopefully it is just that. It is just one. And next year, I hope we're not talking about viruses or COVID, and we're talking about a normal year, and the lights are about to go up at this time next year, and the football games are happening with Pacers playing at the same time. But this is one year where please stay safe. You know, please take precautions if you can, and we all can get through. It's going to be an abnormal NBA season. Things are going to be a little bit different, but you have to have, I think, a bigger light at the end of the tunnel picture and a bigger picture view of all of this. And again, JJ, I don't want to end this on a down note, but as we're kind of on this subject, it made me think of, you know, the really tragic news with the Quick Change Halftime Act. And, you know, just our hearts, our thoughts out to everybody involved in that family. And that's one of the staples of the NBA season. And boy, isn't it a real harsh reality of exactly how dangerous this virus is. That, you know, one of the staples of what we're all used to is ultimately when it comes right down to it, we're employees, but we're fans of the league and of the sport and of the game. And just really sad and tragic news to hear that from a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand, Quick Change in the Pacers and the NBA. And I'll just I'm always busy at halftime. And so I don't have the same memories of watching this, but I'm going to bring up David Benner, Pacers VP of Public Media Relations. He has some responsibilities, obviously, at halftime, but it would not matter whether it was Bankers Life Fieldhouse or, you know, we were in Dallas or Miami. If Quick Change was there, he was going to sit courtside and stand and watch and try to see if he could figure that out. And even my son, when I told him the unfortunate news the last couple of days, he's like, how do they do that? And, you know, it's just one of those things that I don't think you ever really want to know. You just want to always be amazed. And we were amazed by what Quick Change was able to do. And so unfortunate. So definitely wanted to echo your sentiments and thoughts and prayers to the family. And I think probably Quick Change and just, you know, that family would appreciate you sharing a story or a positive memory for what they did to entertain you than to grieve. It's a time to appreciate. So we hope the best for them. It's just another that fits under the category of nightmare that never seems to end. And that we keep hearing news about people and families affected, and that it just continues to hurt. So I'm glad you got that in there and definitely wanted to pay tribute to them.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up this week's podcast. We will be hopefully with you next week. We kind of by ear, but as the schedule has kind of worked out, it's worked out about once a week over the last month or so. And certainly when we get into the season, and I'll also say this, you know, typically during this time, I'm really active on trying to boosts our listenership of this podcast. This is kind of the time of the year where I'm always trying to, go knocking on doors proverbially and trying to get our numbers up and more fans and more listeners. And I think we had a bunch of big contests last year with tickets. And unfortunately, obviously, for obvious reasons, we won't be able to do that this year. But if you enjoy the podcast, we would love if you would share it with family, with friends. If you are having a small get together, here's a good technique. I did this, last year around this time,
I would just listen to it over and over.
Yeah, I would just start grabbing family members' phones and going into their podcast app if it was an iPhone and just subscribing whether they wanted to or not. So,
I don't recommend that necessarily. grabbing someone else's phone, sometimes it's kind of personal there, you know, and you don't. But I get it. Yeah, anything for whatever the cost.
Whatever works. But yeah, if you enjoy this podcast and want to share that with friends and family, we would very much appreciate it. And we very much appreciate all of you. That'll wrap it up for this week. We are getting closer. We're excited to have NBA basketball back on our radars and to be talking and speaking with all of you. For JJ, I'm Pat. We'll talk to you next week on the Sideline Guys podcast.